Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, my heart, my mind just can't get away very far from the orphan thing today. So open up to Romans 8. Tell you what, you can... I remember again when Sue and I first walked through the doors of this church. We were 45 years old at the time. And we had already been saved and Spirit-filled for 12 years. And... We could pray in tongues, but we didn't very much because nobody ever taught us, really, there was a reason to do it. So maybe in a church service once in a while, you know, you get emotional and might speak a few words in tongues. But now the little guy that led me to the Lord, most of you have met him, Michael Muccio, I wanted to go with him to the prisons. He had a prison ministry. He'd go down there once a week. And he said, well, fine, Gary, but if you want to go with me on Thursday, you got to come to my apartment and pray for 2 hours on Tuesday. And I said, that's easy. Boy, I remember the first time I ever went over there, and he didn't have the revelation of what all praying in tongues does for you the way Pastor Dave does. But he did know that it's the Holy Spirit that's praying through you. And so he said, I want to have success in the prisons. And boy, he did. He had real success in the prisons. And so that was my introduction. But 2 hours a week, you know, that was basically it. But Sue and I really were. I was just explaining to this young lady, that's during that time when I really came back to God, when I was 33 years old, and we had been serving God, best we knew how, for about 12 years. And any door that would open, pretty much, if it was available, then we would do it. You know, and that's kind of the way your natural mind goes, you know. And so we did everything from prison ministry to Bible studies to... feeding programs. I was actually worship leader for a while in the church, and you know that's not God. I mean, in other words, that's not my calling. It was just available to do, and so we did it. But boy, after 12 years of that, and it's not that God didn't bless us. He did, you know. You can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward for it. But there's just a big difference between you following your own thoughts, your own a plan, trying to serve Him. There's a big difference between that and finding His plan and what He called you to do, see. And until we came here, we didn't really know how to find that plan. I mean, first off, is there a plan? Amen. And how I started seeing that, Jesus knows everything. He is God in the flesh. He's all man. He's all God. In fact, where did I say turn? Okay. 32, huh? All right, we'll come there eventually. Let's read Romans 8, 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The price has been paid. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus paid the price. He's already suffered our punishment. Our sins have already been paid for. And if you receive Him as your Savior, it's absolutely illegal for God to make you pay for those sins again. That's why for the backslider, the door is so open to come back to God. But see, when it says He'll freely give you all things, do you know He'll freely give you His plan for your life? He'll freely give it to you, but there is a mechanism of how. Now, way back here, hold your place there and go back to John, right near the end of the Gospel of John. When I saw this, you know, everybody knows that Peter denied the Lord 3 times. I don't know the man. Yeah, you're one of those Galileans. I saw you with Him. I know that you know Him. No, I do not know the man. And then the third time it says with an oath, meaning he actually used a swear word. I'm telling you, I don't whatever know the man. Okay. And three times he denied the Lord. So here near the end of this gospel, 3 times the Lord said, this is John 21:15. So that when they had dined, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, that's not coincidence, is it? Three times Peter denied the Lord. Three times the Lord asked him, Do you love me? Peter caught on. He knew what the Lord was doing. So he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Boy, if you underline, that's a good one. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. This next verse is one of the ones that the Holy Spirit used in addition to the teachings of Dave Roberson to show me directly from the Scripture that there is a plan. There is a plan for every believer. And Jesus already knows the plan. So he says, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest. That's very King James, isn't it? You chose what to wear and you went where you wanted to go. But when thou shalt be old, and I've looked that word up, that there's just like other Greek words or several Greek words Jesus could have chosen to use for old. This one is the one that you would choose to use to describe someone who was the age where senility might be setting in. This is very old, okay? When thou art old, not grown up, old. Unlike me, who is still so youthful. But anyway. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird or clothe thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. Now Jesus here is seeing something decades in the future. He knows what's coming, decades ahead of time. This spake he, signifying by what death he, that's Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Now, just that little passage right there, I went, Jesus knew everything about Peter's life. He knew what was going. He knew the plan. He knew how it was going to end. He knew Peter was going to follow him. And he's telling him ahead of time what's going to happen. How could that be if there's no plan? There is a plan of God. Now, I would couple that understanding up with what Pastor Dave would teach us here in Romans 8. We read 32, but let's back up again to verses 26 and 27. The born-again believer has something, if he's been baptized in the Holy Ghost, that the world just has no access to. And that is the mind of Christ. And the Holy Spirit, one of his primary functions is not to leave us as orphans having to figure everything out on our own. He sent this Holy Spirit on purpose and provided a mechanism where we could literally find out the plan of God for our life, the same way that Peter found out the plan of God for his life. And along the way, there were other visions and dreams. Remember up on the rooftop that time when God was trying to get Peter to go with these Gentiles to minister the gospel? The Holy Spirit would bring the mind of Christ to Peter so he would know what to do. Because otherwise, Peter would never have gone with those guys underneath the Gentiles' roof. He wouldn't have done it. But because God sent that vision, the leadership of the Holy... What I'm trying to say is God didn't leave Peter as an orphan. Peter found out what he knew what to do because the Holy Spirit would show him what to do. See? And that's really where we are. So here's Sue and I, after 12 years, doing our best. Now, we did get radically saved. I mean, when I did come back to the Lord at age 33, I never wanted to go back to the bars again. Making money just lost a lot of interest to me. I wasn't dead to money, but a death blow, a big blow had been wrought to it. Just didn't interest me much anymore. I wanted to serve Jesus, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what my calling was. I didn't know what his plan was for my life. So we just did whatever pretty much would come down the pike, what would be available to do, you know. And it's kind of like that old thing, you know, says, well, we just started throwing stuff against the wall and we hope some of it would stick. That's kind of what we did until we came here. And Pastor Dave began teaching these two verses to us. So he says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, he also helps our infirmities. Now, what does he mean by that? The limitations imposed on us by the flesh. The natural man, that who can only think naturally. Always trying to figure everything out. I like how Alan says it. Always trying to fix everything. My natural brain is a fixer, boy. I mean, I can come up with 100 plans and not one of them be God. I can come up with all these ways to fix it, man. You know? We need to call a committee. We need to take up an offering. We need to sell donuts. We need to... Midnight basketball, swimming program, programs where there's no end. And not one of them be the mind of Christ. I'm thinking of all the times, I'm 68 now, of all the tax returns that I've filed in my life. There have been times when my tax, there was no problem. You just write the check and it's all done. There's been other times I wasn't sure how I was going to pay my taxes. But not once in all those years did my mind ever come up with, well, you need to go fishing. Take the first fish that comes up, there'll be a gold coin in its mouth. Never once did my mind come up with that. And it never would come up with that, because to the natural mind, that's just crazy, isn't it? But see, to Jesus, he went, oh, this is how you do it, Peter. You go fishing. Take the first fish, there'll be a coin in its mouth, and go pay the taxes. Now, that's the difference between the mind of Christ and trying to figure it out. See? Okay. But likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. This example keeps coming to me. Most of you know for years after I left driving the trucks, I would pray at this ugly building, and it sat on 10 acres of land. That went on, now don't hold me to this, I'd have to go back and look at a calendar. For at least 6 or 7 years I did that over there, maybe longer than that. We got 10 acres of land. And over the period of time, I can't tell you the number of prayers I prayed. We know not what to pray for as we ought. In English, Lord, what do you want to do with this land? Would you like for me to do this? I had so many different schemes and plans for making money with the land, for the gospel, for doing this and building different things. I mean, it's 10 acres, you know, it's here in Tulsa. And I'm thinking, oh, man, my mind would generate plan after plan after plan. And the silence was always deafening. And then finally, years later, I found out why. He just wanted me to sell it. I just sold the land. Sue, I will go ahead and tell you this. The land was worth about $30,000. And Sue had said to me, now, men, listen to your wives. Your wife can hear God too. She said to me, if anybody ever offers you $100,000 for it, take it. I never mentioned that to anybody. You know, I mean, why would you? The land's worth about $30,000. I mean, it tops. This guy walks up to me one day out of the blue. Says, would you take $100,000 for this land? Immediately I heard Sue's voice, not the Holy Ghost. I said, yes, I believe I will. See, so all of that thinking and all of that, I did not know how to pray as I ought. All of those human, natural generated prayers, God was like, oh, okay, you know, that's just Gary. Okay, he's learning. But God had a plan the whole time. And he had a reason for that money too, which that's another, we'll talk about that maybe another day. So we don't know even what to pray for as we ought. God, you want me to build this on this land? You want me to build that on this land? You want me to do this? And God's going, if you just get quiet, I'd tell you, you're just going to sell the land one of these days. You need to listen and be involved in what if I'd have started some of those projects? Let's back up a minute. How many years would I have wasted on a Gary plan that wasn't in the mind of God to begin with? And what if I'd have borrowed money to build whatever it was? What if I'd have gone into debt and said, oh God, why am I in debt? He's going, because you don't hear me. You don't listen to what I'm saying. You go do your own stuff and then ask me to bail you out. And you know what? He would have. But there's usually consequences with that too. Okay. For we know not. I just think that's a good example of Gary not knowing what to pray as we ought. But see, my primary function, what I went there to do, thank God I did, and that was to give hour after hour after hour to praying in other tongues. What's going on when you're doing that? Well, the Spirit itself, now that's, the Holy Spirit is a person, makes intercession for us. Everyone say, for us. Why would He need to do that? Because we don't know what to pray as we ought. So if we let Him, He will make intercession for us. When I don't know what to pray, if I give Him the authority of my lips where it can be literally prayed on this planet, He will make intercession for Gary. With groanings which cannot be uttered. And all that means is I couldn't say it in my known language because I don't know what to pray as I ought. So simple to me. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Well, why? Because the Spirit, while that's going on, He is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows the plan. So God has this plan for, just like in the same way God had a plan for Peter's life, God has a plan for Gary's life, God has a plan for Mike's life. There it is. Do you think you're going to change it? I don't think I'm going to be changing God's plan. Okay, my job is to find it, not to change it, and not to change His mind about it. See, my job is to find it. Amen? But I don't know what it is. So it's like hopeless. I would be like truly an orphan. And let's go look at our other verse in John 14. We'd be truly hopeless without this, without the Holy Spirit and this gift of other tongues, this method of prayer, so that we don't have to even know what the plan is, but we can still be praying the plan. It's a magnificent, genius stroke of God. He's like, I love them, but they don't know what to pray. They don't know what my plan is. They don't know how to find out what my plan is. And it's like David said. So the Holy Spirit, He raises His hand and says, what if I prayed for them? I know the plan. What if I just prayed for them? If they would just let me come and lend me their lips, then I know the plan. And we could, they could pray up Your plan for their lives, and then You could answer it because it's Your plan. Genius. Absolute genius. And this is how He left us not orphans, see? Now, John 14 to me, 14, 15, 16, 17 are my four, 14, 15. Yeah, my four favorite chapters. If there is such a thing in the Bible, I love all the Bible, but I probably meditated those four chapters more than all any of the others. And because of this, especially this one verse where He says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I'm thinking about the 12 especially that had, they had forsaken everything to follow Jesus. 3.5 years they have, and I know they're glad they did. The miracles, the blind eyes that were open, walking on the ocean, on the sea anyway, multiplying the loaves and fishes. I mean, the things these men have seen. And now He says, I'm leaving. What? Yeah, I'm going to go be with my Father. And you're going, what? What would you think? Is this over? I mean, this has been the best years of our life. We thought it'd be like this forever. We're going to be following You. And are you telling me it's over? But He's telling them in this very passage that He says, look at back up to verse 16. He says, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. And that word another means another one just like me. That He may abide with you forever. Now, included in that means you're never going to have to go through this again. What? Go through what? The one that we trust, the one that we love, the one that's with us, the one that's been leading us, leaving. He said, the Holy Spirit is never going to leave you. You're never going to have to go through again what you're going through now when Jesus left the 12. And he says, he is going to abide with you forever. Can Jesus lie? The Holy Spirit, I don't care what your emotions say when you, on your worst day, when you feel abandoned, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is closer than your breath. He is with you. He is with you, see, because he's never going to leave you. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. And here's the verse, I will not leave you comfortless. And when I found out that the word there for comfortless is orphanos in Greek, O-R-P-H-A-N-O-S, I will not leave you as orphans. Boy, when I found that out, Sue and I were sitting here at age 45. We felt like orphans. I'll tell you, we felt abandoned. We felt like we had to find our own way through this rotten world trying to follow Jesus. I remember I used to complain. I know none of you ever complain. You're smarter than me. But I used to complain. I said, this is not fair. You know, Peter and James and John, they didn't have to guess every day what to do. They were following you. You told them what to do. They didn't have to, well, should we go to this city or that city? They could follow you. They could see you. If you had instructions, just tell them. I said, this is not fair. Anyone ever tell God that things aren't fair? So then one day, he had mercy on my soul, my ignorant self. And he said to me, he said, well, he says, you have the same teacher as Paul. You know, Paul never sat at Jesus' feet to be taught. Paul never traveled with Jesus like the 12 did. He says, you have the same teacher as the Apostle Paul. And Paul came to know me better than Peter did. Now, who was it corrected who? Wasn't it Paul had to correct Peter? Yet Peter had been hand-trained by the Lord in his flesh. But Paul had been spirit-trained by the Holy Ghost himself. Whew. He says, you have the same teacher as Paul. Kind of took away my excuse, you know. And I began to understand what Dave, coupling this up with what Dave was teaching us, he's going, I will not leave you orphans, but look at that last part. I will come to you. What does that mean? You can have the mind of Christ no less than the 12 had every day. By this Holy Spirit, his job is to literally bring you the very mind of Christ as though he was still here in the flesh and as though you were following him every day. That fellowship is supposed to be that close where we follow him like they did day in and day out. I know there's a place where Jesus, I know Jesus walked there and I know we can walk there. Where it's a day by day, moment by moment fellowship with God. You're not guessing, you're not wandering, you're not trying to figure everything out yourself. You just hear and obey. And it's a wonderful thing. So go to 1 Corinthians 14. Sometimes it's a good to get to, I know that you guys could teach this probably as well as me, but sometimes it's good to be put in remembrance of these things. Because I'm telling you, you can let things slip. You can be at this a long time. Now, don't ask me how I know this. You can be at this a long time and have good success. And then you can, what's the best way to be, slip. And without even hardly realizing it, your prayer life can just little by little die on the vine. And you'll find yourself wondering again, where is his leadership? Where is that voice? Where is that knowing that I used to have? Well, my question would be, well, where is your prayer life? See, because it's the mechanism that he gave us was that supernatural ability to speak in other tongues. Dave led us all through 1 Corinthians 14 here. Starting in verse 2, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speak in mysteries. I'll never forget the first time I heard Dave say, now stop right there. Let's see what we've learned so far. Number one, when you're speaking in an unknown tongue, you're not really speaking to men. You're speaking to God. Got that? So, okay. There's communication. I am talking to God. We know that. Number two, we know that in that communication, there are mysteries. And then Dave would always pause and he'd go, "How many of you think that you are explaining mysteries to God?" No, God knew everything quite a few millennia before you ever showed up, right? No, we are not speaking mysteries to God. God is explaining mysteries to us. And that made such perfect sense when you combine that with the revelation in Romans 8, 26 and 27. The Holy Spirit, while we're speaking in this unknown tongue, He is communicating these mysteries from God, explaining them to our spirit. Well, you say, well, what mysteries? Well, all those things, Gary and Sue, that you wanted to know. You don't want to be an orphan. God, what is your plan for our life? Am I called? What's my calling? If you had asked me when we first come to the prayer center, what are you called to be? I'd have said, probably a pastor. You know, and people call me Pastor Gary, that's fine. You can call me a Chevy, it doesn't make me a car. You know. But see, one day that mystery was explained to me years down the road, and I found out. He says, no, you're not called to be a pastor, you never will be. Well, what's the next question? What am I called to be? He says, you're a teacher. You're a teacher in the body of Christ. That's where your anointing is, and that's where your provision is. And I have found it best not to try and get out of that, you know. Teaching is what I do. I'm not ever planning on starting a little church or trying to pastor a church. Now, I could fill in like I am. I can fill in for somebody, and you can call me pastor. I don't care. But you'll find out if you hang around me very long, I don't really have a pastor's heart. I have a teacher's heart. You start falling asleep in my class, I'll wrap your knuckles. I got a teacher's heart. Pay attention. This is important. Okay. So he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he's speaking not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaking mysteries. Then Dave came down to verse 5 here, and there's so much here we can't teach it all. But verse 5, Paul says plainly, he says, I would that you all spake with tongues. See, and that's a revelation in itself, because even in the church world, there's a doctrine that says, well, it's only for the elite. You know, it's only for the fivefold. It's not for your average. And the reason they're doing that, they want to maintain control over you. They want to be, you need to come to them to get your leadership. See, God never intended that for His sheep. There is one shepherd, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one shepherd, and you have a direct connection to His mind by way of the Holy Ghost. You can hear the Holy Ghost for yourself. Man, that's good stuff, isn't it? Now come down to verse 14. This is what I didn't really understand. It took a while to understand this. He says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding, and that's your natural mind, is unfruitful. How many of you found that to be the case? That's part of what makes it so hard to do for extended amounts of time. Because the natural mind is just, it's like left out in the waiting room. You know, you ever be left out in the waiting room while your wife's in with the doctor, you know? Or, you know, you're just there and they only got so many magazines. I mean, you get bored, you know? Because you don't know what's going on. Your spirit is in, if you'll allow me, is in there in the Holy of Holies with God the Holy Spirit. While you're praying in an unknown tongue, your spirit is... How does Dave, again, draw that picture? He said, you have been brought into the classroom of God. And the finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard is the Holy Ghost Himself. And every hour that you'll give Him praying in other tongues, He is communicating the very mysteries of God to you. Not only what your calling is, but who you are in Christ. Who Christ is in you. Everything that Christ is to you and through you and in you. All of those mysteries He's communicating, and He's showing you things to come. It's a perfect plan. And you don't even have to know anything about the plan in order to pray the plan. But the Holy Spirit knows it all. But to sit there, now your understanding doesn't stay unfruitful. As your spirit understands these mysteries, I have learned from experience, it's your spirit, really, that turns around eventually to your soul. It's like, I always draw the picture, if that's the Holy of Holies and my spirit goes in there to pray, my soul has to pull up a chair outside the curtain. You remember there was a big curtain? My soul has to pull up a chair outside the curtain because it can't go in there. That's my spirit and God the Holy Spirit talking. I'm sitting out here bored, you know, so I read the Bible or something. But when my spirit understands a revelation or understands it, anything it got, one of those mysteries, it's the one that like comes to the curtain, opens it up and says, hey, soul, come here. What? Hamana, hamana, hamana. You're not a pastor. What? I'm not a pastor? No, you're a teacher. Really? I mean, it's just like that. And at that moment, your understanding doesn't stay unfruitful. You do get it. But that may take a while. And sometimes you'll pray and pray and pray and you'll get two sentences from God. Other times you'll pray just a little bit and you'll write four or five pages, you know. But it's all God. Yes, sir. Now, along the way, He brings you right up to your own strongholds. What's strongholds? What does that mean? That's weaknesses in the soul that could be there for a thousand different reasons, but it's something in the soul that has caused you to be defeated normally your whole life. Most of you know I had a nicotine addiction for years after I got saved. I just couldn't quit smoking. I tried everything. I was preaching. I was traveling and preaching, still smoking like a freight train. I told everybody, you know, but I was going to this one meeting, and I remember I was chewing nicotine gum, and I had a patch on each arm, you know, a nicotine patch, but I had to pull over for a smoke break. I was addicted. That's a stronghold, okay? And I tried everything in the world, and I thank God for Pastor Dave, who would tell me. I would get so condemned, I'd almost leave the church over it, you know. I felt like a sheep eating dog, and Pastor Dave, bless his heart, he'd say, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. And I'd go, yeah. And I'd get back in there and I'd keep praying and keep praying. And eventually, you know, that stronghold come down. But there's all kinds of strongholds. The most common ones and the ones that, I don't say most common, the first ones that most people face usually have to do with forgiveness. Because you're not going to go very far with God with an unforgiving heart. And for years I thought that if I forgave, it meant that I was saying what they did was okay. That is not at all what forgiveness means. Is what they did to Jesus okay? To hang an innocent man on a cross and make him suffer till he dies? No. He forgave them anyway. See, why is any of us going to heaven? He forgave us anyway. He forgave us anyway, blotting out all of our sins, forgiving us all transgressions. And if you're going to walk with Him very far, if you're going to go with Him, one of the first things, if you have bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, that's going to come to light. Because one of the things the Holy Spirit does, like Dave says again, He'll start shining that flashlight. God is light. And you let Him in your heart, start praying in other tongues, let Him start shining the light on every door where you've been hurt, every room, every emotion. It won't be very long. He'll start bringing that person right up in front of you. And He's going to want you to forgive them. That's not always easy to do. It's one thing to say you forgive. It's another thing to have that removed from your heart. But I found out even when you don't know how, I had two people that I didn't know how to forgive them. At first, there wasn't anything in me that even wanted to forgive them. It was totally selfish. I wanted to forgive them so I could follow God. It was really all about me. I wanted to go on with God, and He just kept telling me, you're not going to go very far with me if you don't forgive them. Well, I don't want to forgive them. Well, then you're not going to go very far with me. But I want to go far with you. Then you got to forgive them. I had a problem. I said, Lord, I searched my heart. There is nothing in me that even wants to forgive them. I hear you, but Lord, there's nothing in me. And then he asked, when the Lord asks you questions, he's not looking for information. He asked me a question to help me. He said, would you be willing to be made willing? No, I've never heard anybody ask me that before. I went, what? Let's see. I am an engineer. Let's see now. I'm not willing right now. But if you could make me willing, then I guess I would be willing. So yes, I am willing to be made willing. But that's how my mind works. Sorry. But, and he gave me the most simple instructions that a baboon practically could follow. It was not hard. He just said, every time you think of them, just pray that I bless them. He didn't ask me to forgive them right off. Just pray that he would bless them. And you know, most of you know the story. Have you ever tried not to think of somebody? Immediately I thought of them right away. And I said, okay. I thought of them. Hallelujah. I thought of them. So, Lord, I'm asking you to bless them. And I actually said this out loud. I said, and you know I don't mean it. I didn't want to be a hypocrite. You know I don't mean it. And he knew I didn't mean it, but I did it. I tried not to think of him again. I don't know how many times that day and the next few days that process happened. But it's the most amazing thing as I just began. See, this is the thing with him. He'll give you instructions. I don't care how goofed up you are, how messed up you are. He will give you such simple instructions that a baboon could do it, if that's okay. I mean, it's just simple. And I would think of them and I'd say, okay, all right, I pray that you bless them. I'd call their name. But I noticed a little change began in my heart. And I at some point, it didn't take very long, maybe 2 or 3 days. At some point I went, okay, I'll quit saying that part about I don't really mean it. I mean, I guess I don't want anybody to go to hell. Okay, if you can bless them, I guess it's okay. Just go ahead and bless them. Now, here's an amazing thing. As that began happening in my heart, and I've got my hand out here, the darkness began to recede from my heart. Get the darkness. Only then, this is so important, people. See, because my mind, considering those two people, they were evil, I was pure. They did me bad, I didn't do anything wrong. I would have testified to that in court. I mean, I saw it that way. But as the darkness began to recede in my heart, light began coming to my understanding. He began little by little showing me my part in that transgression, that I was totally blind. You know what it reminds me of? Can the blind lead the blind? And as that darkness kept receding, it finally got to the point where I was praying more for them. I mean, excuse me, I was praying more for him to forgive me and bless me. The more he showed me my part, I was worse than they ever were. But I was totally blind to that in the beginning. It makes me wonder. Anyway, I know that I know. The point right there is if I had never started on those simple instructions and allowed that forgiveness to work, which, by the way, that was a long time ago. Today, that same couple lives 3 blocks from our house. When I'm out of town to do anything, any trips, the guy is the one that will, if something goes wrong at my 94-year-old mother's house, the guy is the one that goes over there and fixes it. The woman is my mother's best friend. And her and my mom go shopping and do all kinds of stuff. Jesus, we all remember everything that happened. But Jesus has this wonderful ability to take away the pain of it in your heart. Now, all of this is connected with when we know not what to pray as we ought. I would never, in the early days, Sue and I were 12 years at this, I would never have thought the number one thing I need to pray, here's the number one thing I need to ask for, help me forgive those two people. I would never have thought that was the number one thing I needed to pray. But the Holy Spirit, boy, right away, he went right for the jugular. He knew what was really important. I would never have known. But boy, the Holy Spirit knew. And it did not take... I know that I know that I know. If I had not allowed him to work that forgiveness in my heart, I wouldn't be in ministry today. I'm not even sure I'd be alive today. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like a poison pill. And the Holy Spirit can literally free you of it. We all remember the events, but it's like it happened to other people. There is no residual nothing. I've even tried to find it in case there's nothing. You can't even dredge it up. It's just gone. That is God. That is God. Hallelujah. Just one more verse, verse 18. I'll quit for tonight. I do thank God for this message, and I think once in a while we need to come back to the basics. Because you can get so busy. I'm warning you. I'm warning? Okay. I've been at this a long time. At first you're praying, God, get me into your plan. He will do that. He will get you into his plan. But if you're not careful, even then as you start getting busy in the plan, you begin to let your prayer life slip. And you'll find out pretty soon you're trying to figure stuff out again in your own understanding. One of the I ought to have this chiseled over the door of my house, I guess. Stop trying to figure it out and just go pray it out. Just go pray it out. Walk his plan. Okay, the last verse is verse 18. You know, we thank God for the Apostle Paul and the abundance of his revelations. Where did those revelations come from? He didn't even have a New Testament. He didn't have his own letters, you know. Where did he get that? Verse 18. I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Hour upon hour. I can just see him walking from one city to the next city. Praying and praying and praying and praying. I don't know how long it takes to travel city to city. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. He allowed the Holy Spirit to pray those mysteries through him. To where here, 2,000 years later, we're still trying to understand the mysteries that were delivered to that man. How did he get them? He wasn't born with them. He prayed them out. He allowed the Holy Spirit to pray those mysteries to where he got it. So around here we recommend getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and go into the classroom of the Holy Ghost. Pray in other tongues. Amen.